Well, we jump into our Fryer Fridays in the 8 o'clock hour, and without any further ado, we're going to get right out and visit with this gentleman. Young man and a guy that I followed for a great deal of time. He played at La Jolla High School. He was a baseball player there and gone on and done some wonderful things educationally and been now with the Padres. Hard to believe, I believe 17 years, 6 years now, is the assistant general manager. And I was talking a little bit about him the other day on the program along with Freddie Ullman Jr., who's an assistant general manager with the Padres, and we talked about Logan White the other day, and just so happens that Josh Stein is part of our Fryer Friday mix, and great to have you on the program. Josh, welcome.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Good to be on with you.
Well, let me ask you this right off the bat. We got the Dodgers coming to town. I grew up in San Diego. They've always been a rival for me as a Padre fan. You grew up in San Diego, and I'm sure that you've always looked at the Dodgers as a rival of the Padres.
Yeah, no question. I think it's just natural. You look up the road, it's the big city up north, and very natural rival for us. I think that sometimes feel like the Dodgers have their eyes focused maybe a little bit more on the Giants at different points, but from San Diego's perspective, growing up here, the Dodgers were always a very natural rival.
Hey, Josh, I know a lot about what you do on a day-to-day basis, but for the fans out there, I mean, the assistant general manager encompasses so many things. Could you kind of share a little bit about what a typical day is for Josh Stein and what areas that you touch on a high percentage of the time?
It really is dependent on the time of year. It's a job I share with as you mentioned, Fred Uhlman Jr., and really a lot of what we do is focused on the major league roster, assisting AJ with every decision to be made on the major league roster. But then a lot of the support processes in the background related to the front office, baseball research and development, statistical analysis, advanced scouting, and then assisting the different departments, whether that's player development, professional scouting, amateur scouting, and just making sure that we've got good processes in those departments throughout and really being a resource for the leaders of those departments and ultimately AJ. So it's really depends on the time of year at this point. This is probably the busiest stretch. We've got the major league season, we've got four minor league seasons, and we've got the draft coming to a head here in the next month.
Josh, how much will you go out and actually look at some of the top amateurs?
I used to go out and see more of them. I still see some during spring training and a little bit in Southern California, but really we've got such a good process and so many, I think, good evaluators, out seeing the amateur players under the direction of Mark Connor I think sometimes it's dangerous if someone from the front office just pops in and sees, three or four top amateurs and comes in with a heavy hand. So I think that, we've got a good process and a lot of faith in those guys. And, really, I just try to support it, as much on the back end as necessarily getting out there and seeing some of the top players.
We're visiting with Josh Stein on our Fryer Fridays, assistant general manager of the San Diego Padres. Nice enough to join us on this Friday morning as the Padres get ready to host the LA Dodgers tonight at Petco Park. First pitch, 7:10, Eric Lauer going against the veteran left-hander, one of the best in the business for many years, Clayton Kershaw. The numbers that we talk about, we see numbers on, the different websites. You guys have an entire group of people that look at numbers and break them down a variety of different ways. What's a typical report that manager Andy Green, does he get a daily report or every other day? How does it work on the numbers that Andy will look at that, kind of give him the idea on how he should put his lineup together?
Yeah, no. Andy definitely gets information daily from a whole host of sources in our research and development department, some of those are proprietary metrics, things that we've kind of come up with. Obviously, there's a lot that's out there publicly that's very good as well, but Andy's getting plenty of information daily in terms of the matchups and certain things that we look for in trying to trying to construct or put the best team on the field. Ultimately, those decisions are Andy's though, and he gets a lot of input from people in the front office and different people that kind of support him down in the clubhouse. But those decisions ultimately are Andy's.
You know, I mentioned you went to La Jolla High School, and you know, you had you got yourself a great education. Can you kind of take us through a little bit about what you did educationally? Because when you got this job here in San Diego, it's not easy getting a job in professional baseball. I don't care what you've done; it's very difficult. But talk a little bit about your schooling and what you did before you got into baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think you could work in baseball, coach, unless you played at a very high level, played professionally. I was went up and studied psychology at the UC Berkeley, and kind of really was just more interested in that subject than even thinking about it as a necessary career path. But in studying psychology, I did take a number of statistics courses. Baseball had always been a passion, something I loved thinking about. After college, I ended up going to law school up at UC Hastings, and was a first-year law student. It was a little unsure if a legal career was going to be in the cards for me, and I started to apply some of the statistical analysis that I had learned in college to, you know, some baseball numbers, and a lot of that was being done at that time. And I was fortunate enough with you know, that combination of skills and then, you know, a whole lot of luck to connect with then Padres general manager Kevin Towers, who must have seen something and hired me as an intern. And from there, it was just a lot of hard work and, you know, a lot of obviously passion and love for the game.
Well, Kevin hired a lot of good people, and a lot of them started as interns, as we know, with Theo Epstein and Jason McLeod now working for the Chicago Cubs. Let's get back to the Padres here. But I wanted you to share your resume a little bit, because I think people need to know that, you know, you're very well-educated, and you also know the game of baseball. And I think that's important for the fans when they hear you talk a little bit about the ball club and what you've done in the game. Josh, have you had the opportunity to go down to El Paso yet? Because, man, these guys have been playing some great baseball.
Yeah, it's funny you should ask. I actually just spent the last 4 days, not in El Paso, but up in Fresno with the Chihuahuas. And, yeah, it was a great environment. I think it's credit to Edwin Rodriguez and the staff there, and certainly the players. You know, I think they've you know, it's a nice collection of prospects on their way up, and really some, I think, you know, good veteran players that set a good tone, and, you know, kind of the winning speaks for itself. But even the work that they're putting in pregame and some of the preparation that I saw with our pitching coach down there, Bronswell Patrick, Morgan Burkhardt on the hitting side, just a lot of quality work, and I think, you know, we've seen some guys come up and already make contributions, and wouldn't be surprised if we see some more here very soon.
Hey, Josh, Luis Urias, I saw yesterday, named the Pacific Coast League Player of the Week, and a week ago, Ty France was named the PCL Player of the Week. You know, you saw Urias here early in the year, and of course you saw him at the end of last year when he came up and he hurt the hamstring. Yeah. But what you saw early in the year, where he went 2-for-24 and struck out 11 times, what are you seeing when he's in AAA? Is he a more relaxed player? Is he in a more comfortable environment? What is it?
Yeah, I think there's a combination of things. I think there probably is a little bit of that, Coach. I think that Luis, even when he was struggling up here, I do think he was putting together good at bats. I think he was conducting good at bats, swinging at the right pitches. He just wasn't hitting them. And that's something Luis has done throughout the course of his career, is he's made contact and he's put those balls in play. And I think there's a couple things, you know, mechanically that Luis is working through in his swing, and he's in the process of doing that. I kind of just was up there witnessing it. You know, so there probably is a degree of comfort, but I also think that, you know, as you move up and you face really, you know, better and better competition as you get to the top of this game, you know, there are adjustments that need to be made. And I think every player goes through that point. And I think Luis is doing it right now. And again, I think he's had some good results in his first week down there, as you said, Player of the Week. And I think he's looking to build on that, you know, really every game. So.
Josh Stein, our guest, Padre Assistant General Manager, joining us on 97.3 The Fan, our Friar Fridays. I'm looking at Alex Dickerson, the former Poway High star. He missed each of the last 2 years, once with a back, another with a Tommy John surgery, outfielder, first baseman. You know, a few years back, this guy was definitely a part of the organization, had shown that he could hit major league pitching. Right now, he's trying to knock some rust off, and it looks like he's doing a pretty good job hitting 360 with a 1,055 OPS. How did Alex look to you?
Alex looked great, and I think he's just a professional hitter. He gives you a good professional at bat. I think he goes up there. He's got a good idea of what he wants to do, and he's got his plan, and he's going to stick with it. He's very stubborn in that regard, and I think that's a lot of good hitters. You know, have that kind of mentality. So, Alex swung it well when I was in there. Kind of collected a number of hits. Had a 4-hit game when I was there, and. I think that's a good way you kind of put it. He has missed a couple years, been difficult, you know, with the injury bug, but he's knocking off some rust, and he's definitely on our radar and someone we've been looking at here as we as we just think about ways to improve the offense at the major league level.
Hey, Josh, last question. I got to get your thoughts on Nick Margavichus, because here's a guy that I keep saying he pitched one game above A-ball. He pitched last year in the Double-A playoffs because you guys had moved Logan Allen up to Triple-A. This guy's been absolutely amazing. When did you guys have any inkling at all that Margavichus could actually break with the ball club and be on the opening day roster?
I would say in terms of breaking with the ball club, I think it started probably 2 or 3 weeks into spring training. We started kind of giving it some real thought, real credence. I mean, I think the story of Nick Margavichus is, I mean, it's definitely one of great scouting. By our amateur scouting department and bringing him in. And then it's a testament to who he is and how hard he works and what he's done over the past couple off seasons to really, hone his craft, but also B, just, from a physical standpoint, continue to develop. So, with Nick, there was a challenge last off season that if he hit certain benchmarks and if he did certain things throughout the course of the off season, that he'd be able to earn an invite to Major League Camp. I think at that point, we really viewed Major League Camp more as a nice stepping stone and a reward for a good off season because he did meet all those goals. And I don't think that in mid February we were talking about Nick in the rotation, but very quickly, whether it's bullpens, live BPs, and into those early games, he kind of came out as a man on a mission and threw strikes and. Certainly wasn't afraid of contact and trusting what's a very good defense behind him and, making pitches. And he's very, in addition to being, having some deception and doing different things, he's also, very cerebral and someone that, I think can take a game plan and really take it into a game. And, that's been very, very transparent, from my seat, watching him. And I think, heard that even from some fans and some different folks that watch the game is, this guy looks like he's pitching to a game plan and that's very accurate. So it's been a great story from a scouting standpoint. And then I think player development did a great job and then all the credit obviously to Nick and what he's done. So.
Well, Josh, hey, thanks for the time. And I got to say, Kevin Towers hired a good one when they hired you. You've done a great job for the Padre organization and being a young guy that grew up here in San Diego, it probably makes it all that more special for you.
I appreciate that, Coach. And definitely very proud to be a Padre and looking forward to a good series this weekend.
Hope to see you at the ballpark tonight.
Sounds good.